Okay, what we're going to do today, we're all on. Today I want to bring some examples from Sukkah Zimra, and we're going to learn a parak or two from Sukkah Zimra. It'll be sort of like a class in Tehillim in some ways. And I'm going to tie together what we discussed the last 2 weeks with like all the halakha lamais and davening. I want to begin with a parak in Tehillim called Kufim. If you have a Tanakh with you, you can look it up or look in the Siddur. It's in the Hallelujah. We're going to get it. We're going to go into presenter mode in a minute. And I want you to take a quick look at at the parak that we say every day in davening. It'll be up in a minute. Tevim in Tevim 148. Clean. Here we go. Okay. So we're going to go into presenter mode. And then we'll should be up and set and just here we go. Presenter mode. There we go. Okay. And we start. Okay. I'm going to take a look at this parak. Okay. As we're all familiar, I just want to make sure everyone hears me okay. Just want to get a verification I'm being heard. Jay, you here?
I hear, but when you're in presenter mode, it's, I don't know if everybody can type and stuff, so they can only speak. So go ahead, assume they can hear.
Okay.
Hear.
Okay, fine. Okay, take a look at Kuf Mem Chet. We say it every day. Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Shemina Shemaim, Hobbim, we can even number it probably faster than we can read it. Because it's Perek, and try to understand how it's built, and see the things that we talked about in Sukkah Zimra. Does anyone just take a quick look at it, and I'm going to go back to regular mode and then have a little discussion. Does anyone notice, take a quick look at it, notice that the parak has any type of structure to it? Is it just like one sentence after the other, or is there some real basic structure to the parak, which is which catches your eyes when you read it? I'm going to have a little discussion. I'm going to close it, yeah. Can see anybody? Wait, does chat work now? Does chat work? Okay. Okay. Did anyone see anything in the in a parak that any structure to parak kufram chet at all? I want to make sure people hear. Can anyone either hear or chat or something? I'm not hearing anything. I guess no one's hearing anything. Okay, I'm going to put it back up on screen again. Yeah, I'll go back to presenter mode. And we'll start it. And, yeah. Okay, take a look at Kin Kuf Mem Chet. Something we read it. I'll read it as we go through. Hashem in Hashemayim, we praise God from the heavens, from the moon up above, all His angels, the stars, I think above the water, above the heavens. We praise God, His name. He created them. He made them forever. Praising God from the land, big sea creatures, down there. Fire and brimstone, fire and hail, etc. Steam and snow, heavy winds, big mountains, trees, things like that. Kings, ministers, judges, young people, young men, young women, old people, young people. And then it's praise God because he could present the mode now and have a little discussion. Okay. Okay. If I'm saying the order of creation, is it? What about the earth? What's the point of the parak? What point is Mizmor trying to do? Is this praising God because He made everything? That can be said pretty much in one word. Take one more look at it, and then we're going to show you the parak formatted. Okay, placing the order of things. Okay, let me show you something now cute in a minute. Anyone else want to comment on it? That's it. We're going to switch to TD148 format. Here we go. So we're going to go back now to we're going to go back to presenter mode, and I'm going to show you something really cute. Okay, we should be on now. Here. Okay. Jay, tell me when it comes up, because I want to make sure everyone sees this nice and easy.
Not quite.
You see the formatted version now?
Yes, it's up.
Okay, now. Right, now we'll go down a little bit. It begins with hallelujah. Now, look at the first part. Look how structured the parak is. I'm using a little bit to explain it. It says Haluat Hashem min Hashemayim, from the heavens, and then we have a Bura Lamamim. The list that follows are all things that are part of the sort of the celestial beings. From above, the angels, everything that comes with the heavens. The sun and the moon, all the stars. The heavens of the heaven, and the waters that are above that's also, so it's for sure, all relating to things of, after we say that God is praised from the heavens, we get a list of all the things that God created to praise Him, and then explains how they praise Him. It says, Yalu Hashem Hashem, they make God's name great, they praise God. How? He created them, and He made them. He commanded, and they were. He set them up forever, and they don't break any laws. Meaning, the first part of the parak is saying is the very existence of all these sun and moon and stars, etc. The very existence praises God. If a human being takes a look at the sun and the moon and the stars, and sunrise and sunset, and everything that comes with the heavens, and they're regular, they're set, they don't change, and they're strong and amazing. The very existence praises God. They don't have to say anything. We'll see that very soon. The very fact they exist, that itself praises God. And the fact that He commanded they were created, that's God's praise. Put on a little bit now. We should straighten up in a minute. Then it says, from the land. Now look at the list of things, another bullet list. And the name began from the third creation, from the fifth day, and all the depths. Eishu Barad, okay, strong, then afterwards, strong winds, mighty mountains and high hills, fruit trees and big strong cedar trees, animals, wild animals, all regular animals, creeping animals, birds, the fly. Then it talks about Malkei Eretz, the kings, of all the nations, the ministers, all the big judges, then says Bachurim, young men and young women, all people and young people. And then it says, they praise God, or they must praise God, the name of God. Why? He's got Shmo Levado. Only His name is exalted. And then we'll return to this section in a minute, and then we conclude the whole parak with Hodo Eretz Vishamayim. See what happens? We have two in Hashemayim, followed by a list with an explanation. Then Halo Hashem in Ha'aretz, followed with a bullet list and an explanation. And then we concluded with Hodo Eretz Hashemayim. God's praise, God's glory is on Eretz and Hashemayim. And then it tells us, we'll talk about that pasuk at the end, raises up the glory of His own people, the nation, the people of Israel, who is close to Him, and all that is in the praise of God. So what we want to discuss now in the shir is what's the meaning of the second section, who's included and who's not included. I'm going to go out of presenter mode. I hope you're, I'm going to say later, but then we're going to discuss what we saw. Okay, now you should be able to chat. Tell me if the first income was the table clear. So the file, the way it was set up, did it make sense? I want to make sure everyone noticed it. No one's able to, anyone on the chat side. Okay. If you look at the Arab side, who's missing from the people mentioned? We mentioned the kings and the, we mentioned officers, we mentioned ministers, we mentioned young people, Bachurim, Bachurot, we mentioned old people and young people. Who's missing? Yeah, very good. People who are shy are basically regular people. People are shy like people don't answer on the... we don't like to chat. What's interesting is, and if you look at the things of creation that are mentioned, we have Taninim, which are the big sea monsters, Talmud, the big depths. We talked about the high mountains. We talk about all the things that are, like, majestic. And basically what's being mentioned are all the things which have growing themselves. Most, we have Ruach Sarah, is a strong wind. Fruit trees. We don't talk about vegetables, we talk about fruit trees. Basically, anything in nature which in itself has what we call it glory or gava, which makes itself as a god. In ancient times, the Taninim was known as a god. There was a wind god, like strong winds. Ruach Sarah was a god. Talmud was a god. Machay Mu'min, kings of nations, saw themselves as gods. Sarim, the ministers saw themselves as gods. Shoftim, judges saw themselves as gods. And that's why the next list, in the bottom, young people, Bahurim Gam Turot, teenagers, think they're like God. Kenim, sometimes elderly people, think they know a lot, like God. And Narim, teenagers for sure consider themselves like, all the people who think a lot of themselves, what do they need to do? Even though, analogy, they think a lot of themselves, they have what to think about themselves. They are important. And our theme, all the big trees, even though they're important and they are glorious, what's the parak saying? That there's someone more glorious about them who made them. That's Yaluach, it's Shem Hashem Ki Yizgav Shmo Levado. Only his name, only his glory is the most exalted. So we're trying to get out of our head. The whole parak is anti multiple gods, and recognizing that even though you see majestic creatures in creation, despite all that, the true majesty goes to God. And again, the very existence of the Shemaim praises God. The very existence of Earth praises God. But the bottom line is telling us that even though we may consider ourselves as majestic and the things we have as majestic, the main thing we have to do is we have to take that majesty and recognize that all is created by God. So again, what we're doing in that paragraph is we're making a name for God through we're recognizing creation and then making a name for God. I'm going to take another look back at the parak to review it. We'll go back to the top. Okay. Notice again, you have Halot Hashem in the Shemayim, we're placing him from the heavens, and the bullet list, and then why? They praise the name of God, the very existence that God created them, they don't have to say anything. Then we have a list of all the things in the land which appear to be gods on their own. Again, everything here is something majestic, something powerful. Okay? And even though they are powerful, they have to praise God, or God's reputation is all over them. And then, and therefore, God's praise is our Eretz V'Shamayim. And then we conclude it for why did he pick the Jewish people? He raised up, he exalted the Jewish people, and praised them, because it's Amistel's job to praise if I'm so exalted, I'm going to show you one other parak now. We're going to exit presenter mode, and we're going to pick up another. Any questions on that one? Hope it added to. Once you see it, you'll ask how come you never realized it before? How simple the structure of it was. I'm going to pick up another parak in Tehillim, which is sort of going to summarize what we've done before. We have to go back into presenter mode. Control open. Here we go. This one's going to be TV 19. Here we go. Presenter mode. Okay, I'll be on in a second. Okay, it should be up. Here we go. This is a Perek in Tehillim, which we say on Shabbos morning. Tehillim Yutet. I'm going to step before the David. I'm going to bring the screen right up to the... beginning. See that? Okay. Now, there's more room on the screen. Now, hopefully it should be clear now. I'll cut out another technique for the David, and we'll start. Notice this Perek. I'm not going to make it divided up. You can see it for yourself. Perek Yutet in Tehillim has two clear parts. The first section, Hashem is suffering for El, all talks about nature, about creation. And then there's a big jump between Prophet Zion and Chet. We start talking about the Torah. It's clear. We talk about how Shemayim is suffering for them, the heavens tell the glory of God, and Masei Davman Rukia, there's a classic parallelism, there's a tikbolet, where the very existence of the heavens and the skies praise God. And every day they do what they're supposed to do, every day, every night. We don't hear any voices telling him, but they just do. That the very existence, without saying a word, they praise God. Right? And the whole, like the rays of the sun, and the sun is like a tent, the sky is like a tent above all its creations, and the sun when rising and setting is like a chatan leaving the chuppah, running around from one end of the heavens to the other, and that no one can save himself from the heat of the sun. So we have a whole beautiful 5-6 sukkim about how beautiful nature is and how God made that. And then we switch to Torah, how perfect Torah is. Torah Tashem Tmimah, Mishibat Nafa, Shizut Nem Nem, Machshivat Peti. Then every line talks about how beautiful and wonderful God's laws are. God's laws are straight, to make people happy. God's laws are clear. Bara means clear. Opening, eye-opening. The fear of God brings purity. Stands forever. God's laws, Mishpatei Hashem Emet, Tati Yachtav, His laws are full of truth. And they're nicer than gold and silver, etc., and sweeter than honey. And even someone who serves God is careful to keep them. There's a lot of reward when we keep them. And we ask God in a little prayer at the end, who can understand when we make things the shogeg, when we do unintentionally? You know, forgive us for those, and even forgive us for things we do on purpose, and save us from doing things on purpose. Don't let our Yisahara get the best of us. Because if you do that, then you'll be clean from Pesharav, from sin. And then we end with a little tefillah that God should accept our tefillah that's from through the glory. What you see here, I want to bring this down because if you remember our shiur on Birkat Kriyat Shema, here you have the exact copy of Birkat Kriyat Shema. Probably, what do we do? The first seven psukim talk about nature, which is a short version of Yotzer HaMaorot, of God who made the sun and the moon and the stars, like we say in Yotzer HaMaorot. The second section, Torah Hashem Tmimah, is exactly like the second bracha before Kriyat Shema, of Ohel Amo Yisrael, Birchat HaTorah, but God choosing Israel and giving them laws to keep. And the final tefillah at the end is the bracha after Kriyat Shema, which is Tzur Yisrael, Kum Avet, and Hashem Tzuri B'Gorali. That's exactly the bracha of Gorali Yisrael, Tzur Yisrael, Kum Avet, and Yisrael. And we say, Baruch Hashem Go'al Yisrael. Hashem Tzuri V'Go'ali. Tzur and Go'ula is the same idea. So I want to bring another example of a Perek where I want to bring another example of a Perek in davening where we should be back to normal mode now. Where, again, we saw the ideas we talked about before about the preparation for one, recognizing God in nature, and then recognizing God and giving it to Torah. And the way they fit together now is simple. God made nature, God created everything, and He chose the Jewish people to recognize His hand in nature, and recognition that God made creation for a purpose, and we have to make His name known. We have to make that idea known, that there is only one creator, He has expectations from man, of what He wants to do. Now, to show what God expects from man, That's going to be the next topic we're going to talk about. I just want to stop for a second if you have any questions. Make sure we get stuff out clear. I'm going to bring up one other topic in Tehillim, also from Pesukei Zimra, which will be up in a minute. We have to go back to presenter mode. This one's going to be Kuf Mem Vav. Another Perek we say in the morning, right after Asher Yishev Vitecha. We'll put it right here. Okay. I'm going to switch back to presenter mode now. It should be up and... There we go. Here's another Perek which we're all familiar with, at least every morning. I want to show you how this Perek is going to reflect the ideas that we talked about. Here it says, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Nafshiyat Hashem. We praise God with all our soul, with our whole life. That's the first section. It's the statement of our need to praise God. Then, in Pasuk Gimel Daled, it says, we remind ourselves, don't put our trust in, I guess, in rich people or in any human being who can't really help us. Because any human being, no matter how rich and powerful they are, sooner or later they're going to go back to the ground. It'll be dead, basically. And then everything he had will be lost on the day of his death. Right. That's the first section. Now, in Pasuk K, we switch to praising a person who puts his trust in God. This is the cutest part. It says, Ashrei She'er Yaakov Bezro. Remember we just said all the Ashreis beforehand? Okay. We're praising a person who God, the God of Yaakov, is going to help him. Fits into this week's Parsha. Remember how God promised Yaakov he'll take care of him. Sivar Hashem Elokav, he puts his hope in the hand of God. And then we describe who this God is. First we're praising the person who puts his trust in God and God helps. And then we're going to describe what God does. Look at the list of things that God does. Number one, Oseh Shemayim V'aretz. That we've discussed before. We had all the Pakim before. Etayav Kol Asher Bam, Hashem Lachem. Number one, God the creation of heaven and earth. There's a whole parak we saw describing that in Kuf Mem Chet. And God keeps truth forever. Now, look at the things that God does now. Oseh Mishpat LaShukim. He does justice to those who are oppressed. He gives them a Matzeh Surim. He opens up the eyes and people can't see. Hashem helps people go straight. In case you wondered, that's where a lot of Bichot HaShachar come from. Chazal picked them after some of these. Hashem is Ohev Tzadikim. He likes those who were just. Also, God takes care of the strangers. Hashem Shomer Gerim. He takes care of people's strangers, who people sometimes don't accept. He told Mamana, the widow. He helps to make them happy. And he makes the way the dead people go out of line. And then we say at the end, we ask that God should, his kingdom should be forever, and the God of Hashem's kingdom should be forever, and the God of Sion should be forever, the God of Israel, the universal God, who the people of Israel will represent him in Sion are representing. But why are we describing God in all these different terms about all the things that God does? Okay, I'm going to hope you remember this parak again. Remember this list, and we're going to go back and discuss it now. The things that God does, God made made the heavens and earth, but God does, Shomer Emet Le'olam, He does Mishpat Ashukim, Noten Lechem Narevim, He's Matzeh Surim, Pukeh Chavim, Zekeh Tzfufim, or Tzadikim, etc. Right? What's the importance of telling, describing about how great God is here? What do we learn from that? I'm going to close the presenter note. Any ideas of why we have that special list of all the things that God does? And why specifically those things? Right? People, I guess, are still shy. Right? So I'll try to explain. If you notice, all the things in God's list aren't only things that God does. They're exactly the things that God wants us to do. I mean, there's... Okay. We are saying, we're only thanking you, except our whole idea here is to emulate God. Only what we're saying is something very simple. It's not enough just to praise and recognize him, oh wow, he's so great. But once we recognize his greatness, then we have to act in God's image. And when we made the Tzalem, what God does just in his praise, but to recognize how we're supposed to emulate him. Then the Chazal say, Bahu Rachum, Al-Fatarachum, since like he's kind, you must be kind. He's merciful, you must be merciful. We have to emulate God in his ways. And we describe God as helping the stranger, helping the poor, helping the needy, doing justice, doing what's right. All those good things we're doing, we're not just doing it to praise God in itself. We're focusing on that praise because it's for that reason God made man. If we're created, we're sort of God's helpers, we're God's servants, and what God wants us to do is exactly the things that we describe God as doing. Okay? We're not supposed to make our own, we don't make our own creations. We don't make Shemayim V'aretz. We make new inventions sometimes. We use our creativity. But just like God was creative and created everything, after he makes his creation, he watches over it and guards it and takes care of its needs. Since we're in this model of the Gan Eden model that we're created to serve God and to guard his creations, it's our job to make sure that we are in the way that God does, to emulate him. I'm going to go back to one milin, actually one more part from Tevilah, which will summarize everything we've done so far on I'll be up in a second. What's up there? I wanted to conclude with, actually we can do this one with the discussion. These are psukim which you know by heart, so we're going to go back to regular mode so we can discuss it. Here we go. I want to go back in regular mode to what we think we hope for in the second part of Aleinu L'Shabbach. In our Shira on Rosh Hashanah, we talked about the meaning of Aleinu, but in the second half of Aleinu L'Shabbach, we talked about what we're hoping for. And then we say, we're hoping that soon we'll see God's glory, to get rid of idol worship, etc. And then we say as follows, we want all mankind to call out in your name. And we have that whole show about what it means to call out in God's name. Not calling out to God, but calling out about God. That was the recognition of God. Not just bothering to him when you're in need, but making a name for him to others. To fix all mankind with God's kingdom. And then all mankind will call out in your name to bring bad people. To bring bad people, Rishayim, to move them in the right direction. Then Yakuv Yedu Kol Yisrael Teva. All people created, everything that God made, should recognize Yakuv Yedu Kol Yisrael Kilachate, that only you are the God that people should worship, etc. And then we end with the pasuk from Zechariah, like it says in the Torah, Hashem Yimloch L'Olam V'Ed. Or in a nutshell, the main thing we're talking about all the time in davening, over and over again, is exactly this idea of God created us for a purpose. We're supposed to recognize, as human beings, not just as the Jewish people, as human beings, we're supposed to recognize him as a creator and creation for purpose, and God has expectations for man's behavior. Man has to emulate God. But not only did God make all of mankind, he chose one special nation, the children of Avraham Avinu, that whole idea of Sefer Bereshit, of the idea of Bechira, I chose one nation, and that nation was chosen to make a name, to bring his reputation to mankind, to make a name for God. We make a name for God in the way we act as individuals, in the way we act as a nation, and our existence as a nation keeps us together. Not just as a model as individuals, but also as a model in our national behavior. We can also be eternal because nations, even though individuals come and go, nations can remain forever. And then that nation that's chosen to represent God is commanded tons of laws which will guide its behavior, but will be on a regular basis, every time we get up in the morning, before we go to bed at night, in the middle of the day, and all of us, we have to remind ourselves of our job as representing God. In that sense, most of Tevilah, which I'm going to summarize the point we've been making in all the shiurim is our recognition of our need. When we say Shema Yisrael, we talked about that at the beginning, is a recognition not just that God exists, that there's one God, but He's Hashem Elokim, He's the God who chose us. And then we talked about the different parts of Tefillah which lead up to that. And that idea that not only we're turning to God for our own needs, we're turning to God as a reminder of why we were chosen, why we're keeping mitzvot, and the main theme of what's behind keeping mitzvot. And I brought a couple examples from Tehillim that we say in Pesukei Zimra, which take that idea, and we clarify that why we emphasize them every time when we daven. We'll stop there for a second. I don't see no one's asking any chat questions. I'm going to put up one more slide for summary, and then we can conclude. Here we go. Here's Tim. Okay. I'm going to conclude with one more parak in Tehillim. Let me go back into presenter mode. I want to take one more parak from Tehillim, which we say on Shabbat, which is something rather cute about how Tefillah works. I'm sure we're all familiar with the parak of Yoshev B'Sefer Yom B'Sefer Shalai Tzlonan. The word's a little difficult, but I want to show you how the structure of the parak can help you appreciate how important the Tefillah is. First, we describe God as sitting above, like way distant, way above. But a person is, even though he's so far away, a person can sit in his, under his protection. Then, Aman Hashem, this person who's putting his trust in God, says as follows. That's the opening statement of the Mizmor. Aman Hashem, this person says about God, Maksim Surati Alei Tachba. God is my refuge, He's my salvation, He guards me, and I'm going to put my trust in Him. Note that that's a statement made by the person himself. Now, this person, this is like a choir piece. This is the HaBotech Hashem, the person putting his trust in God, makes the statement. And then, afterwards, there's a list of responses that the choir makes to that person's statement. Now, when he makes the statement, Hashem seems to say, Yalat Tachba, and then the choir answers, four or five different things to prove that he's right. He'll save you from this. He'll protect you. Don't worry about night. He'll guard you. He'll send his, your enemies will fall by your side. Basically, we have a list of six sukkim which describe about how God will protect the person who says that. Then, the person who said that responds to the choir and says, Ki'atasha makhti, or you want some tamanecha. Now the person talking in first person again is saying, God is my machzan, He's my protector. And even though his abode is way above, He still protects me down below. And then again the choir answers, nothing bad will happen to you. He'll command His angels to guard you. He'll carry you so no one will hurt you. And you can even walk on snakes and serpents and they won't hurt you. Now, after that's over, the cutest part at the end of the parak, remember again, the person makes a statement of how he trusts in God, and the choir answers how correct he is. At the very end, God himself answers the person. Notice the last two psukim is God speaking. What does God answer? This person trusted in me, and I'll save him. I'll raise him up. Why? He knew my name, he knew the same idea of Shem Hashem. He recognized my name, he recognized my importance. And then God says, when he calls out to me, I'll answer him. I'll be with him when he's in Tzara. I'll save him and I'll honor him. And see, this idea of God saving us when we're in trouble and honoring us. That's the same idea we had in Kufnam Chet of Vayim Ken Lamot, Hallelujah. And then I'll give him a blessing with length of days, and he'll see in my salvation. So again, when you understand the Mivnat Batarak, which is a person making a statement of trust in God, followed by a choir telling how ready he is, another statement of trust in God. Again, the choir telling you how true it is. Ending with God himself answering the person. Rarely in Tehillim does God actually speak. This one of the few examples in Tehillim where God speaks to someone, a person putting his total trust in God. In the end, he'll be able to have a communication with God, and God will be able to take care of him. So, I'm going to go back now to regular mode. In summary, I simply want to show you how different Pakim and Tehillim that we say all the time in davening reflect the ideas that we saw developed in Chumash about why Avram was chosen, how he was chosen, why the stories in Perek Aleph and Bereishit are there, why we need stories of creation, why we need stories of the flood, why we need stories of sin and punishment. And all the different things we saw in Sefer Bereishit, they reflect themselves in lots of sections in the davening that we see on a regular basis. Okay. If there's any questions, I'll take them now. If not, we're going to talk kind of just about that, so we can say goodbye. Next week, we're going to start, we're going to spend two, last week will be a discussion of Hanukkah. It'll be a Hanukkah Shir, and we'll discuss this more in more detail. So if there's no questions, we'll say Laila Tov. For you people, it's good afternoon. For me, it's good night. Okay, bye-bye.